Everyone on the call. This is great timing. Thanks, Andrea.
Yeah.
6 minutes back. So first of all, Ted, thank you very much for sending out what we had discussed as far as an idea to keep our board informed regarding the regional discussions. I think all of you know, and Diane and Ted, feel free to jump in, but I think all of you know that after we had the big regional meeting, the comment that we heard from a number of folks is, we just wish we knew more as far as what's going on. There were a few people that their noses were out of joint because they didn't know why they weren't at the table of this micro group. And the suggestion that was made to us that Diana and I talked about immediately after was, would there be anything wrong with sharing what the agenda items are that we're going to be discussing at the next meeting? So if these regional customers do have input to that, we would have their input in advance. And the group was fine with that. I mean, I think now that we have really this confidence and credibility, I think among the three groups, and we're starting to build more and more trust, the sense that I had was it was okay to open up a little bit more. Where Ted and Diana and I felt great about that was it then allows our board to be made aware on an ongoing basis after each of the meetings that we're having each week, exactly what's going on. I do want to say too that we brought up how we had gone into closed session with, we told West Des Moines and Urbandale this. And West Des Moines' comment was, well, we're going into closed session basically at every meeting to discuss this. So I know that we're totally trying to be transparent and we want to make sure that we are open with everything, but others are also looking at this as, you know, a chance for the board to weigh in and really set the strategy for this competitive issue that we are looking at as to whether or not we form a regional utility. So I'm going to stop at that because I know that covers quite a bit of information and kind of leads into what Ted was going to share with all of you. But any questions or comments? Ted?
Sue, a couple of things that I was hoping we could cover today. One, we did talk, we've had one meeting with the smaller group since the large group that I think most of the people on this call were part of. And one of the things that we said we were going to do was try to put together a schedule that would move us through the first quarter. So identify which topics we're going to talk about and what when we're going to talk about those things and when we're going to revisit those things throughout the quarter, with a goal of being in a position at the end of the first quarter to update the term sheet, basically. Update the term sheet so that then we could bring it to our board for your consideration, potentially your approval for re-releasing, if you will. That's kind of the stated goal, is to try to get through this in the first quarter. So we have, Amy and I have worked a little bit on a schedule that I can share and show if there's interest in seeing that, and that the topics are distributed throughout the first 3 months of the year through the first quarter. We have 13 meetings scheduled with that smaller group. And then I have also tried to drop our customer relation committee meetings in here into the schedule, what we might want to touch on or talk about at each of these meetings, and then also our board meetings, just as kind of a placeholder so that we can see where they land on the schedule. Thinking that would be something else that we could share with the board to keep you up to date. It'd be a living document and it would be updated on a regular basis as we meet each week and make progress or don't. We could keep the schedule up to date, and we could keep shuffling these items, and we could kind of see what kind of progress we're making on all of the open questions. So we can look at that and talk more about that. And then The other thing I wanted to talk about, or hoped we could talk about today, was specifically the communication pieces. And our discussion was that there would likely be two different communication pieces. One, which is more of a bullet point form, fairly short and to the point, that could go to the larger group to let them know what's being discussed. And a second one that is in more detail for our board, so that you have a sense of what we're talking about each week. We give you the opportunity to reach out to me or Amy or Sue or whoever, ask questions if you had questions, keep you in the loop, try with the intent of keeping you informed and sort of framing the discussions that we can have at each of our customer relations meetings, instead of trying to share so much information at our monthly customer service meetings. Literally try to keep you up to date on a weekly basis, with the intent of bringing this process along so that when we get to the end of the first quarter, everyone has felt like they're part of the conversations or discussion, or at least aware of the conversation and discussion. So Sue, those are a couple of things that I was hoping we could have a conversation about in today's meeting.
Well, and the other piece, Graham, we really need some expertise from you, Melissa Walker, as far as the other part of the communication. How is that that we start to reach out to our customer base? When, how do we educate the stakeholders so that they also know what's going on? And we really set that aside to say, we need to talk to you guys, the experts in that, and figure out what is the plan and the timing, and get your input on that. Maybe not today, but we do need to know what that overall communication plan is as well.
Ted, will you go back to where you started and explain to me this process? You're working with West Des Moines and Urbandale on the term sheet. Did I understand that correctly?
Well, we're not working with them on the term sheet, Graham, specifically. We're working with them on the questions related to sort of what we talked about in a recent customer relations meeting. We have a number of open questions. Several of them relate specifically to asset transfer. Those would be the things like the depreciation schedule, the allocation of cost of water, bonding and how that could work, operating contracts. There are a whole number of questions that relate to, if assets are going to transfer, how is that going to work? We're talking to them about that, trying to both be on the same page in terms of depreciation schedules that we would use to value assets and allocation of cost of water, how we do that in a wholesale environment and how they could do that. And then there are counter proposals that they have made that we've talked about. So we're working through those questions so that we can get to a point where, I guess I see, Graham, the end goal here is that we understand the scope of the questions and the spectrum of each question, and we get to a point where we can reissue the term sheet, or I guess decide that the original term sheet are still the terms, but I assume will be some edits to the term sheet.
So when do you expect to have the questions answered for West Des Moines and Urbandale?
Well, the goal is in the first quarter.
That's part of the schedule that he's talking about, Graham, that we are trying to lay it out to say, okay, we only have a certain amount of time. What are the questions? And just so that we're not kicking the can down the road, so we know what questions have to be decided and answered and reviewed by what date in order to meet that goal of the end of March.
Here, let me try to get to what I'm concerned about. I want to get to the point where the meetings with West Des Moines and Urbandale cease, because what we really need to be meeting with are our other potential regional partners. The longer we're in discussion in this small group, the longer it takes us to begin the discussions with the broader group. So I'd like us to wrap up this small group discussion as soon as possible. And so how do we do that?
I think that's our goal too. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think first quarter is too long. I mean, I think we need to have that wrapped up with them quickly.
I don't think we can answer all the questions that we all have on depreciation and growth and everything else. And I think what Ted is laying out is that we are starting to have bringing in the other customers by having this more frequent communication, sharing the agenda, sharing the bulletized review of what we've decided. So those conversations are starting to happen now with this proposed plan.
And, you know, I will say, Graham, that we've attempted to lay out a schedule where we will have the opportunity to address all of the open questions in January and February. And, you know, the challenge that we have is each of these questions, you know, we have a perspective on how we want to do it. There are other perspectives on how it could be done. If those are perspectives that we're even willing to consider, we can't consider them without doing some analysis. And so we end up going back and doing some analysis and then going back to the group and discussing again, yes, it will work, no, it won't. You know, the depreciation schedule is a perfect example.
How many meetings are scheduled with West Des Moines and Urbandale?
Well, I've laid out this schedule through the first quarter. So there's 13 meetings. But what I'm hearing from you is your perspective that that's too long and we should try to complete our discussions with them sooner.
Well, either that or just include everybody else in those discussions. I mean, part of our problem is we have, you know, that I've heard from other people is that this is a closed group, that West Des Moines and Des Moines and possibly Urbandale are, you know, colluding behind closed doors to make these decisions. And there is an appearance of that. And so I think if we have these meetings in a more open format where others are present, we can accomplish the goal of keeping people informed and, you know, doing this in an open way.
Graham, we had been having more open meetings for 2.5 years, and they get derailed by certain people that are not our major customers. We're making great progress. I mean, I hope you all know we're making great progress. And we are talking about sharing the details of those meetings through this communication. But I mean, people will derail it if we go back into a large group at this point and open all the meetings up to everyone. That's what we've been doing for 2.5 years.
I'm interested, Graham, who have you been talking to who is concerned about these meetings?
Well, I'll just refer to, you know, the comments that were made during our meeting. You know, by Mayor Lorenz and a few others that indicated to me that they feel like they're on the outside of these conversations. And you know, those public comments are enough to be of concern to me.
That's why we've made the suggested changes that we have. And I know we've talked to him since then, and he was pleased with this. He felt included, if you will.
Well, as I said, you guys can proceed how you feel best here, obviously, but I want to express my concerns. I think that having 13 meetings over the next 3 months behind closed doors with Urbandale and West Des Moines will create a problem for us going forward. I just think that these closed door discussions with this group have gone on too long.
I think if we can get done faster, I think that absolutely we'd like to do that. It's something to talk about and take a look at the topics that we have left. I've been surprised by the amount of research and analysis that as we get into each one. that's required.
So question. Oh, sorry, Joel. It seems to me that the questions really aren't changing. They're the same questions circulating around appreciation or depreciation and growth, things and things of that nature. If the analysis is taking, is what's taking so long to be able to come to a conclusion on these items, are we accomplishing things when we meet at a weekly basis, or are we still just kind of touching base and waiting for analysis to be presented?
I think we're making progress, Andrea. You know, I think at last week's meeting, we came to a consensus in that group on what would be appropriate for depreciation. It's been, not been approved by our board, obviously, or anyone else's board, but the group reviewed all the analysis that we've done amongst ourselves, the various options, and came to a conclusion on what made the most sense. And not just for Des Moines and West Des Moines, but for all the asset owners. And I think that's an important point here is that, you know, we have people who own assets and people who don't, producers and non-producers, peakers and non-peakers. There's a good representation there. And so I feel like the conclusion we came to there was a positive one.
So and things like that conclusion is what you are sharing that we might be able to communicate to others in kind of like an updated summary sheet.
Right.
I mean, on the one hand, I see where Graham's coming from. If you told me you had 13 meetings without me, I'd be like, ah, you're doing a lot of hanging out without me. But if you had a meeting and then you had to wait 3 weeks for consultants to give you the information that you needed on, you know, the LSA's analysis of the 28E, and so now it's only two meetings, that to me says something a little bit different, or at least gives me a different feeling of exclusion. So that's why I asked that question. And I agree. I think that summary of what we're talking about, what we've accomplished, and why it's taking so long or not would be helpful to others in the region.
Yeah, and I think so too, Andrea. And I just have to tell you that, you know, the meetings aren't very long. We meet for an hour and a half, and there's discussion and you know, I don't know if I would call it debate, but there are perspectives offered on both sides, and we come to a conclusion that, well, we're going to go, we'll do analysis on that. And then it takes time to do the analysis. And usually it takes longer than the next meeting. We can't just go back in a day, have the analysis done. So at the next meeting, then we talk about other topics. You know, we talk about growth. We talk about operating contracts. We talk about, you know, there are 8 or 10 questions that are outstanding. You know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm hearing you all. I heard Graham's perspective, and maybe what we need to do is focus early on the questions that relate to the producers specifically, because West Des Moines and Des Moines are not the only producers, but the primary producers. We know that Altoona also has assets that might be involved, but, you know, maybe we need to focus on those things, depreciation, which I think we have a path on that we want to share with our respective boards and get their feedback on. We need to resolve the allocation of cost for producers. We need to talk through the operating contracts and how that would work, because only producers will have operating contracts. There are just some of these things that are very central to the producers only. Maybe if we can front load those topics, which frankly is what we've been trying to do, then we could start opening it up. But I fear that trying to bring 20 entities together on a Zoom meeting to discuss these topics will be more challenging than trying to get to a point with a smaller group where we can at least say, here, we had a cross-sectional group that came together for a defined reason, and here's what we've come up with, and now please comment. But I'm hearing that 3 more months of that seems like a heck of a long time, and people are getting tired of it.
Mm-hmm. Is Altoona participating in the small group?
Altoona is not participating.
Now they have assets, correct?
They do.
Well, they have assets. Let's talk about their assets, though, and also our contract that we have with them. And I mean,
well, you know, I think, Sue, we'll talk about that. But the premise of the small group is board managed utilities, people who have staff that are dedicated to water and have time to spend in weekly meetings to discuss this. That's the premise. And I think if we open it up to everyone who has assets, or, you know, I don't know what other, there are other criteria we could use. And that's kind of the discussion we've had with Ankeny, is how do we let you in and not Waukee and not Clive, and not pretty soon it's just everyone again, and it's 20 entities on a Zoom call. Altoona does have assets. They're small in capacity compared to even West Des Moines. Not insignificant, but smaller. And so we made the choice to include the 3 board managed utilities at this time. And I do think it's a representative group. And I do think that, West Des Moines does a nice job of representing the other asset owners and what would be acceptable to them. And Urbandale does a nice job of representing the communities that don't own assets and communities who have higher peaks. And so I think it's a good representative group, but I am very sensitive to the fact that this is taking a long time and people are getting tired of waiting.
I wasn't on, I was on the road during the large group meeting last month, so I only listened in via phone. So some of it may have been lost in translation, but I didn't get the sense that our other communities, our customers, were beating down the door to get in this meeting. Certainly they wanted more information and they were eager to hear how it was going, but I got the sense that they were pleased that the small group was making progress and that the small group had found a way, found an effective way of meeting and negotiating, and just wanted to be kept in the loop. Now, I agree, 3 more months of this and 13 meetings does seem like a lot. So the sooner we can get a proposal to the customers, I agree with everyone, the better. But I favor staying the course. I think we've made really good progress in these meetings. I'd like to see us get some kind of draft term sheet that we can take to our customers before we open this up to a 20 community Zoom call. As Ted said, I don't have a lot of confidence that a meeting like that would be very effective and very beneficial. So I think we stay the course and try to work as quickly as we can. You know, maybe it's the end of February, but I don't think we need to cut off the small group meeting in the next few weeks by any means.
Joel, you bring up an excellent point, the way you phrase that. And that is, really, I think the concern we all share is, how do we as a board discuss and draft that term sheet? I mean, that's really the question that's at hand, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like, how you have to have these discussions and you have to have some sort of understanding of what West Des Moines and possibly Urbandale's needs are going to be. That helps you formulate our term sheet, but yours is the question that Ted and everybody else is trying to resolve, right, Ted? I mean, how do we draft that term sheet? And that's what I'm curious.
And yeah. I think we're spending time trying to understand the implications of the different moving parts. And if you change something here, how does it affect over there? And I think that that's what takes time, but those are going to be the questions that people have when we get back together. Like, you know, if we up this, if we think that Des Moines should take on more responsibility for growth, how does that flow through the whole thing? That's important to us. You know, we've found some things that I think maybe we thought, gosh, that's going to be important. And then when you work through how it impacts everything, you find out, whoa, maybe it's not as important as we thought it was. And that's been a lot of the interesting part of this, the difference between what people's perceptions are about how it flows through, and when you actually get down to it and spend time on it, how does it flow through and how does it impact each of us and the different entities? And if we can spend the time to do that, then I think when we take it out and people look at it and maybe look at a piece or two and say, well, I'd like more here or less than that, we can really focus in on how it will impact us and how it will impact others.
And I want to take just depreciation and tell you that, you know, we depreciate over a different schedule than West Des Moines does their plant. There has been a huge amount of understanding, I'm going to call it, on the part of West Des Moines, as they have taken a look and better understood all of this information that we're sharing. So I'm bringing this up, Andrea, so that you don't think we talk about depreciation for a little bit, then we go on to this. We fully flush it out as much as we can. And in doing that, I see us coming to maybe not an agreement yet, but much closer as far as an understanding as to why we are saying we have to have this or we lose this. And I mean, on the last two calls, there has been a lot of movement on the part of the other two, particularly West Des Moines, I will say, just through all of this additional research and knowing that, you know, they can have whatever internal depreciation schedule they want. But when we're talking about transferring assets, we're not going to walk away from that kind of money for our ratepayers.
But I think depreciation is a really good example, because when we had the large group meetings, it would come up again and again, and nobody really knew what it meant.
Right.
But it came up all the time, and it sounded important, and it sounded, you know, really good for people to say, well, you know, you have this 100-year depreciation schedule and that's not right. And now I think we do understand. And like Sue said, and I think the other entities understand. And when we get back to the group, we'll be helpful in explaining it and what the options are and how it impacts.
Yeah, I think that all makes sense. I do think, though, Graham's question, and it's a question I had as well, well said by Graham, was, I think his question was more about process. So how do we, what's the work product that comes out of this? How do we get, this is a lot of work. We need some piece of paper to come out of it eventually. Mm-hmm. What's the process for developing that term sheet? Does the small group develop the term sheet and then the board, we approve it and take it to the communities? Do we develop a term sheet and take it to the small group and then the community? What, you know, there's a lot of moving parts there. What's the process like for actually developing a proposal on paper that we can do something with?
Here, let me take a swing at that, Joel, because I've given this some thought. And in my opinion, we are working with the smaller group to try to create consensus on the key questions. And the key questions include these items that affect asset transfer, and then the few counter proposals that we've received. Some are harder than others, and some have a bigger financial impact than others, but we're trying to create consensus. But I'm confident that we will not create consensus on all of them,
right?
Growth being an important one. Now, if we all come to consensus that on every single topic, then I think there could be an opportunity for us to update the term sheet.
And, as a board, As a board, Des Moines Water Works board, let's be clear.
Update the term sheet as a Des Moines Water Works board and share it with the larger group and say, we, the three entities all came to consensus and here's our new proposal. I don't expect that that's what's going to happen. I expect that there will be some areas where we don't have consensus, but we have sort of, you know, bookends on what's acceptable. Growth is a perfect example. Maybe they would like to see, you know, we would like to see growth pays for growth and they would like to see, you know, 5% benefit pays for benefit or something, pick a number. The analysis is being done on that right now so that we know what that means in terms of dollars per year for Des Moines Water Works, you know, dollars per customer per year. That analysis is being done, but at some point we'll come to a conclusion on that. And I think it will be incumbent upon Des Moines Water Works and this board to say, well, we hear what you want. We're not willing to propose that. So here's the new term sheet. And here's what we are willing to propose. I don't know what that is yet because the analysis isn't done and I'm not comfortable making any sort of a recommendation there. But at some point, we're going to have to talk about the open issues, the issues that remain open as a board, as a Des Moines Water Works board. We've already talked to Jason Mum with FCS about being prepared to do the analysis on some of these open questions. But then this board, in my opinion, or in my vision of this, this board will say, okay, this is what we're willing to do on governance and asset transfer and depreciation and growth and fiduciary and the whole list. We'll update the term sheet. We'll share it with all. And then everyone will have, I'm sorry.
Yeah, at that point, Graham, the work of the small group is done. The Des Moines Water Works Board has a new term sheet. And, you know, as chair, you and Ted and Diane as vice chair determine how this is shared with the larger group.
Well, the work of the small group has to be done before the term sheet. Those don't happen at the same time. The work of the small group finishes and then we develop the term sheet.
Right.
But it is because of the work of the small group that I think we would have everything to come to this board to say, okay, let's now revise and update our term sheet and give them our best and final offer.
And it, now, final offer is a good a way to put it. So something occurs to me here that I think we need to think about, and that is whether the term sheet is actually the goal that we're working for toward here. Because the term sheet was used, you know, we put together over a year ago kind of as this discussion topic. Getting us to our meeting of a year ago, are you in or are you out? If we, let's say we have a term sheet that we put out in June, it's going to take a number of months knowing this group then to go through the term sheet and debate it and tweak it until we get back to the legal document, whatever it is, a 28E. Is that what we end up signing?
Yes.
To finalize that 28E. And so realistically, we could be sitting here a year from now hoping to get the 28E signed. And I just wonder, this is my food for thought idea. And that is, I wonder if we scrap the idea of a term sheet and it is our job at Des Moines Water Works to actually put together the draft 28E to circulate to the group when we're ready. I mean, because that's really what we're doing, right? We're going to make this offer, this proposal for other people to consider. Not that we won't accept the idea that 2080 won't be changed a little bit before it's signed, but I wonder if to speed up the process, if it would make sense for us to scrap the term sheet step and just and focus on drafting the 2080.
I think including the 28E is a great idea. I think everyone is so accustomed to how the term sheet looks.
You could do both. Yeah, that's a good point.
We could marry them together so that if they're looking for number six, how did we end up handling depreciation?
Excellent.
They have it. What I've come to realize, even in working with West Des Moines, is, you know, we have a great staff. We have a huge staff. compared to the analysis that some of these other smaller groups go through. So I think if we can streamline that grant and have the 28E along with it, it's one step we're taking out of the process. That's great if this board is that comfortable with moving ahead. That would be amazing.
I think in some ways, and as I say, I'm just throwing this out as an idea, and we don't have to settle on this today by any means, but I throw it out there as an idea because as a board member, it would make me more comfortable for us to kind of work through the 28E, debate it amongst ourselves to a place where we're comfortable, as opposed to, you know, having a term sheet, which frankly means nothing, and then having to develop the 28E. So, I mean, your point is well taken, Sue, that you keep the 28E format because it's out there, and that in a way is the executive summary. So I like that idea.
You know what's interesting about this? I had asked Paul Dre, who had done some of the work for us before on the 28EF language, and I had asked him to kind of give me a final summary of what his final work was, because we were looking at what Eric Bollert had put together regarding a 28F and whether we'd have the ability to bond. And it's interesting because as he was going through the process, he, in the comments that he sent, and Ted, you can send that out to everyone if you would.
Okay.
He said it became clear with the group that my work, meaning his work as an attorney, should be more focused on the 28E than on the term sheet, or even on, you know, the ability to bond and the other stuff. So I think that makes sense.
Joel and Andrew and Diane, do you agree with that? That maybe I'm thinking about your comments, Joel, about how do we get there? To me, it's kind of clear we start, our goal is getting that 28E written.
I think that's a good point. I mean, that's the end goal. No need to spend too much time focusing on the intermediate step if, you know, the end goal is there as well. So that does make some sense. I'm curious about the logistics of it and how long it takes to draft and how tricky it is, but, you know,
all the more reason to get started. All
right, not insurmountable. That's a good point as well, yeah.
And all the more reason to get people thinking about that now as opposed to working on the term sheet and starting on the 2080 in April. I mean, if we can really start thinking about that now, there are some of that stuff that we can get out of the way, that there really aren't questions that we can work on.
And those of you, I wasn't here, you know, a year ago, I wondered was the term sheet kind of an easy target? Does, you know, if we had both documents, does that, I don't know if just having the term sheet out there is easy for people to kind of take issue with. Maybe I'm overthinking this,
I think that's my point too, Joel, is that the 28E is the 28E, right? I mean, everything's supposed to be in there. And so there's not a lot of mystery with the 28E. Term sheet, there can be some mystery with. And so the goal of the 28E is to have everything in one document.
Yeah.
Well, I apologize. I got kicked off the call. So I think I missed something important here that was just discussed.
Let me summarize, Diane. I put out for food for thought. This wasn't really, it's just something that occurred to me that really our goal should be not to develop a term sheet in the first quarter, but actually to develop the 28E in the first quarter. And that we go, our goal is to present the larger group with a draft 28E for them to evaluate, not just a term sheet, because that'll save us some time. And like Joel just pointed out, a 28E may take out some of the mystery from the term sheet. Now, Sue brought up a very good point, and that is, people have seen the term sheet. And so you kind of want to have a new term sheet developed at the same time so people can compare one document to the other. And the term sheet, my crude description, could act as kind of an executive summary, if you will, of what the 28E is. But my idea, just to restate, is really that we should start working on getting the 28E drafted for release in March.
Graham, the other thing that does is it allows us to do exactly what Gary Lorenz has been asking for months. He can take something to his board, to his city council, and they can basically say, we are in support of this.
Right. So it sends a real positive message. Yeah. If you can tell Gary Lorenz in the next couple of weeks, our goal is to have a draft 28E for your consideration in March. That's something concrete that people understand.
Yeah. I will say the trickiest part of this whole thing has been process. You know, and the term sheet was put out there when we had stalled out as a way to say, here's something, and now you need to respond to it. So it broke it down.
It gave us talking points for this huge, massive group to say, okay, where are we? And we got to like number six with pretty much agreement. And then.
Yeah. And there's no well-defined process here. So anything we can do to advance it and pick the pieces, I think that's a good idea.
It's a great idea. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, one piece of context here, the term sheet initially was a document to assess the level of interest among the regional partners.
Right.
And I think we want to, I like the idea of doing them concurrently. We can begin to draft a 2080 agreement and we can start folding in some of the things that were coming out of these term sheet discussions, if you will. But then at some point, we need, before we say, here's a 2080 agreement that we're ready to sign, we have to have a sense of who's on board. Because I think we're still in a place where there's got to be critical mass to this, or there isn't value to our customers in doing it.
That's why Gary Lorenz keeps pushing for that. And what Graham is suggesting will give him what he needs to go to his city council.
It will, but I just want to make sure that we're all still in alignment that Des Moines Water Works and Ankeny are not creating a regional entity.
Yeah, absolutely.
No. All of the communities in the metro.
And I think, Ted, we put that in the 28E.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Ted, your point should never be lost, and we need to keep talking about that. I mean, there is critical mass, and that we have to have the right organizations have to sign this in order to make it work. And I think we can make that clear in the 2080. And you know, let me be clear from my standpoint. I mean, part of the reason I really like this idea, the more we talk about it, is it is imperative for Des Moines Water Works to put an offer on the table. And should that critical mass sign that document, we can move forward with this plan that I think is good for the region. It's every bit as important to put the proposal on the table, because if we don't reach that critical mass, we need to go to plan B. And so that's when I started this conversation today, that's my whole call. I want the small group meetings to wrap up. We've got to get that to that point. And so the more I talk about this, getting this draft done, the more I like it.
So Ted, is it conceivable that we could have the 28E and the term sheet as a deliverable? And I'm saying that's going to put some time on this board too, making sure that we all agree by the end of March?
I think that's a great question, Sue. The 2080 agreement is going to be, you know, based on the agreements that I see for WRA and other entities, is going to be an enormous document with a lot of detail. And we are going to have to work through a lot of detail that we are not working through in terms of the term sheet, you know, specifically how everything is going to work. We need to do that, though, and I think it will provide a great level of comfort. But trying to have the 28E done by the end of March, I think that needs to be a goal, but I need a little time to talk to Rick and assess what that's going to take.
And maybe it's not Rick. I mean, take a look at the note from Paul Dre. I mean, if that was the work that he was doing to figure out how we work this into a 28E, maybe this isn't a Rick thing. I'm just saying.
No, I think that's a good point, Sue. I mean, I think we need to get the right, you know, legal minds involved in this that are out there. And if it's the Dickinson firm, fine. But if we need to look elsewhere, I'm all for that too.
Ted, if you could share with everyone on the board that email that, and you'll all see the whole string. I had asked Paul just for an overall summary from our engagement that we had with him. And he came back with quite an extensive amount of detail. I was disappointed in that he didn't address what our original question was, and that is, do we have to go to the legislature for a 28F? Mm-hmm. But we now have that language from Eric Bullard, which is West Des Moines had hired him. And it appears that according to him, and he does a lot, as we know, with bonding, that there is not a problem with us needing to go to the legislature the way that it's written. I still personally would feel comfortable if one of the leaders of, you know, the legislature took that to the LSB, and if they also gave an opinion that the Legislative Service Bureau said we are in agreement, but to not have to have language float through this session, that's a win for all of us.
Sue, do you want, I can forward that email that we got from Eric also, so folks can have a look
at it. Yeah, because if we're going to jump in and start doing this 28E, everyone needs to see both of those documents.
You know, one of the things that I really wanted to talk about today was, you know, how do we bring this board, each of you, along in your level of comfort with, be it a term sheet or a 28E, and the details that are going to go into that document. And, you know, we drafted up a communication piece, a board communication, and sent it out last night related to the most recent meeting and some of the things that were discussed there and some perspectives on that. That's something that I think we can do on a weekly basis. But if we're going to draft an entire 28E, there'll be a lot of detail. I mean, I think we need to understand philosophically where we're trying to get. We don't need to all be lawyers and review every period in the document, but I want to make sure that we understand that, you know, that we're coming along. So if our goal is to issue a 28E or a term sheet or two documents at the end of the first quarter, that we've put in place a methodology to keep the board informed and bring you along so that you're comfortable with it. And I'm not absolutely sure what that looks like. So,
well, and that's why I brought up the West Des Moines, you know, and Graham, this is your call as chair, but, you know, we may just want to plan at every board meeting of going into private session, into closed session. If our, you know, if we have, you know, January, February, and by March, we want to have a final 28E and term sheet. And that's certainly something I don't think we want to do in a public meeting.
I think we can go into closed session when we need to go into closed session. I don't think we need to plan on them at this point, but as Ted comes across those things, I think we can plan them.
Okay.
We will plan to send out weekly communications to the board, similar to the one we shared. There'll be another version of that that we're going to talk about tomorrow with the smaller group that we would intend to send to the regional partners. It just talks about the topics of discussion. And then if you do have questions, certainly feel free to reach out to myself or Amy or Diane or Sue to get more context, and then we can talk about them in these meetings. But I think if we're going to attempt to complete the 28E in the first quarter, we'll need to get started on that pretty quickly and decide what direction we're going to go with that. So we'll be working on that question in the next week as well.
So I have a quick question. You know, when we put together the first draft of the term sheet, there were a lot of discussion topics, items that came up that we told ourselves we're keeping things kind of at the higher level for the term sheet. We're not going to dig in that deep until we get to the next step of really kind of working out how this regional entity works. And And then we can negotiate further on those, some of those more nitty gritty details after we get this critical mass. So my question is, now that we're talking about a 28E and the 28E being much more in depth, is that going to include some of those discussion points that we put on hold until we got this critical mass term sheet accomplished?
I think it would have to, Andrea. I mean, the agreement would be the agreement. That's my vision, is that the 28E would have the detail needed to launch an entity.
So does that bring, I mean, that, I don't want to say it opens up a whole new can of worms, but there were, I mean, there were a lot of other details that we kind of left on the side.
Right.
So that we stayed at that higher level, are we going to be able to wade through some of those details quickly? And I guess anything's possible, but maybe we need to start bringing those back into the discussion topic now, so that we can, at least on our end, come to a conclusion on them and include them in the 28E agreement so they're ready to roll.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, right, Andrea? Because in a way, we brought the term sheet to people in January, and it did cause kind of all these questions. How do we move forward? And the meeting didn't, and of course, the pandemic happened too in the time period. But the meeting didn't have the impact that we had really hoped, that people would say, "Yeah, I'm all for this," because it was so many questions. Your point's not lost on me, and that is, we have a 28E that is complete. Now there's all this stuff in there. There's more things in there for people to object to. There could be potentially, but I think what we all need to think of, and I'm going to talk like I'm pushing the idea of the 28E, because right now it seems right to me, but that moves us. It gets us past this debate phase about what we don't, you know, all of these unknowns, and actually puts something in writing for people to consider. And if we need to strike and change some language here or there, now we're making progress. The term sheet, in a way, almost was too broad, in my opinion, looking back a year ago. And so this the 2080 moves it down the field a little bit, is why I suggest it. But you bring up a good point, and it's one we're going to have to think about. You know, yeah, can we answer those questions? Can we answer some of those questions before the 28E?
Well, and I'm on board with putting together a 28E, and sure, there's going to be more opportunities for others to object. But I think internally, as within this board, there were some things that we were kind of hashing out and putting on the side to try to keep things elevated. And so internally, as this entity, we're going to have to figure out which of those items we need to bring back and decide amongst ourselves what's important to include there and what's not.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely.
And I think that's going to be a heavy lift, Andrea. I do. I think it's going to be a lot of work. Doesn't mean it can't be done. We haven't been on that trajectory recently, but we can look at that. And
The more I think about the 2080, the more interested I am in it. I do think Graham makes a really good point. And the fact that it will be really difficult to hash out all those issues is maybe why we need to start working on the 2080. I mean, it's going to be, I think it'll be a good exercise for us to decide what our priorities are and make some of those decisions. We won't be working in the abstract as much as, okay, we need to, you know, finish this part of the agreement. And I think for the same, I mean, as several of us said, I think Ted said comfort earlier, that was a word you used. I think it'll bring comfort and confidence to the customers if we actually can bring them a draft agreement, you know, subject to change and maybe some negotiation, but actually bring them the agreement in a very broad one or two page term sheet. I think it'll show our seriousness about this and show that we've done the work. And you can always edit these things. You can always revise them with the details, you know, number of board members and whatever the details are. But I think the hard work is getting the framework of the 2080 put together so you can then later, you know, tweak the percentages or numbers of certain things. So I'm starting to think there's a lot of sense to getting moving on the 2080 in the near future.
I love it. Could we have a side conversation, and I don't need to be part of it, but Graham, I think you and Diane and Ted need to, regarding the legal counsel's support for that 2080. Could we, as a board, just agree that we would like to ask the three of you to have that conversation as to whether or not we engage someone else?
And if I'm right, do we have a meeting scheduled with you and Diane and me? Is that something we discussed?
We always have one following the board meeting, but we can schedule something earlier.
We talked, Graham, about scheduling a pair of meetings to talk about this topic. And I think we did get those scheduled. And
first
one is on Wednesday.
Okay. So in answer to your question, Sue, it's something that we can talk about and report back on.
Well, as a board member, I am very comfortable with what the three of you decide. I don't want to put Joel and Andrea on the spot, but I think we're going to have to move quickly on this.
Graham, Rick was tentatively scheduled into that particular meeting. So if we want to specifically discuss legal counsel for this initiative, maybe I can try to get just a quick call set up for the three of us.
That's fine. Whatever works.
I'll ask Teresa to try to find a time first of next week.
We meet a week from tomorrow. Other meeting.
That's okay. Right.
Joel and Andrea, am I overstepping by?
Fine with that. I think that sounds good.
Well, we won't take any action, obviously, without talking to you guys. So,
right.
We can't.
At least
develop a plan.
Yep.
Okay. This was good. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it. Ted, anything else?
Not related to regionalization. I had a couple of things that I would share in my comments, if you would allow me.
All yours.
We've talked a lot about, or I've talked a lot about, the facilitated strategic planning initiative that I wanted to launch this year. And when Jen got here, I asked her to wade into that, and she did. We interviewed 6 different consultants who we thought might be able to provide us facilitation. We narrowed the scope to 3, and we sent request for proposals to those 3 on Monday. Their proposals are due back in mid-February, and then we'll have a team of folks who will evaluate those 3 proposals and select a facilitator for our strategic planning process, which we hope to launch in April. And so I'm excited about that. I think that's a little bit overdue, and looking forward to working through a strategic planning process. Next week, Jen and I have 3 meetings scheduled with our legislators in DC to talk to them about topics of interest to Des Moines Water Works, including the PFAS contamination at the airport and our desire to have something done in terms of remedial investigation there, and also our FEMA claim and helping us move that through the process there. I mentioned a little bit ago that we talked to Jason Mum about where we are in the process and this term sheet development negotiation and being prepared to have an updated model that we can use to evaluate some of the financial impacts of any changes that we might consider in a term sheet or 2080. So he is preparing to do that for us and preparing to be in position to do that. He's given us a scope and a fee in the $25,000 range to take us through that process. And so we're planning to engage FCS to help us ensure that we are in the right place financially before we would pen anything related to regionalization. And then lastly, I am here for the meeting tomorrow morning, the regional microgroup meeting, and then I am getting in a truck and driving 9 hours to Lake of the Woods, and we'll be ice fishing for the rest of the week. So I haven't crossed paths with Peggy this week. She was off yesterday, and I'm going to ask awkwardly in the middle of this meeting, Peggy, are you here the rest of the week?
I am, Ted.
Okay, so once again, Peggy gets to wear all the crowns for the rest of the week.
You should have missed this meeting, Peggy.
I'll know better next time, Graham.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it, Sue, for me today.
Okay, anything else from everyone? All right. Thank you very much, everybody, for your time and great suggestions and feedback from everyone.
Yeah, thanks for your input today. Appreciate it very much.
Take care.
Bye.